Whether you've overdone it at the gym, at the dinner table, or on the couch, AHM Health Insurance have a cover for you. Join direct at ahm.com.au.
On evenings, the Peter Jackson VFL show with Nigel Carmody. Catch the VFL live on Channel 7 this weekend.
It's the VFL show and it's all going, the VFL. We've got a great round coming up because there's clashes all around the table that mean something with positions up for grabs, including the wooden spoon, as Coburg take on North Ballarat with both teams desperate to win this weekend. Our special guest during the hour will be Toby Pinwell, Port Melbourne mainstay, heart and soul type footballer, and he hits the very prestigious 200 game mark on the weekend. Of course, Routley's Bakery baking the best footy pies since 1947. And before I ate one, I would have said, okay, anybody can say that. They're very good. Very good. Nigel, last week, let's go through what was a few nail biters, actually, including an amazing game, which we'll get to very shortly, that saw a team concede 7 goals to none in the first quarter and get up. But we start with Geelong and the Tigers, and it was a nail-biter at Simmons Stadium.
This was a ripper. This was the curtain raiser to the Geelong-Richmond AFL game later on in the afternoon, and I think it was a Ben Maloney goal at the 32-minute mark of the last quarter that got the Cats over the line. I think they kicked 3 of the last 4 goals of the game. So after a patchy period of form where they went from being 5-5 to 5-9, struck a couple of handy wins in August, and that's a tough one for the Tigers because that will certainly impact their top four opportunities.
You know what? Casey actually, when it came to scoring shots, got outgunned by the Northern Blues, but the scoreboard always read Casey. 5 goals to none in the first and 4-1 in the second. The inaccuracy might have plagued the Blues, but it was only late. 16-6 to 8-17.
Declan Kilty was the standout player in this game, and there was a bit of talk around during the course of the week that he was some sort of opportunity to perhaps come into Melbourne's AFL team for the game against Brisbane on the weekend. Such was the impact he had in that match. So marking mobile player who can play in all three zones of the ground is a really athletic tall and great
his
story.
Form's
in that
he's been down a bit, hasn't it, this year compared to previous years until recent weeks where he's started to find a bit more, hasn't he?
Yeah, but as you know, making the transition from VFL footy and being a tradie to then being a full-time footballer can be a bit of an adjustment. But Casey engaged in a late tilt at a top four spot. They'll, of course, have Williamstown visiting Casey Fields in the TV game on Saturday on 7.
Port Melbourne, big day at Port Melbourne. It was the Fred Cook benefit night that night at Port Melbourne with many club legends in attendance for the afternoon game. And they got off to just a par start against Coburg, 5 goals to 3 in the first quarter. And then the afterburners were put on that saw them kick 13 goals in the third quarter. And they ran out 160-point winners to guarantee that bar sales were going to be strong right through to the early hours.
I think it was 23 or 24 consecutive goals were kicked from a stage in the opening quarter right through until the final term. Jordan Lyle, 7, matching the haul of 7 he kicked back in round 1 against Collingwood as well.
It's one and off the lead in the Frosty Miller medal, I think.
It's Kirby.
An engaging race.
Yeah, Kirby's still leading by 1 goal.
Cale Kirby, Bailey Fritch, a number of players in the mix for that award. Blake Pearson, 4. Chris Kane, Eli Templeton, and Dylan Conway, 3, along with Robin Nahas as well. Not surprising, they had a poultice of goal kickers, and as you said, Fonny, on an important day for the footy club when a legend of their club and the competition as a whole was being honoured, they certainly delivered the business.
But I do see one of their non-goal kickers, Viojo Rainbow, had a good game.
He's had a very good season since crossing from a couple of years on the Carlton list. He was in the best players in the first 4 games of the season, been averaging somewhere close to 20 touches a game. And his kicking skills, which was the reason he got drafted by Carlton in the first place, have started to provide Port with some really good drive from defence.
Am I right in saying a couple of Tasmanians there for Viojo Rainbow and Templeton?
No, no. Dylan Viojo Rainbow is a Western Jet.
Okay.
Eli Templeton, a Tassie boy.
Fair enough. I'm sure there has been a Rainbow in Tasmania. Essendon, now accurate kicking, was important for them against the Box Hill Hawks, especially when you're down 7 goals to none at quarter time. You want to make every opportunity count, and they reeled in the Hawks for a very important win.
This was an absolute treat to cover on Saturday afternoon. Obviously, we had the returns of Jager O'Meara and Paul Puopolo as the headline acts, but it was Danny Younan, who was vice-captain at Coburg a couple of seasons ago. He went to Essendon VFL this year. He's been splitting his time between the Bombers and Bundoora in the Northern Football League, so playing alongside a couple of ex-Dons in Ricky Dyson and Gary Moorcroft. In for just his fifth game of the season, he kicked three of the Bombers, 8 goals in the second quarter when they roared back into the contest. It was a real tussle in the second half before a long bouncing goal to extra long player Michael Luxford, followed up by Danny Younan's goal, put the Bombers in front, and then it was Aaron Francis who took a brilliant mark in defence to deny Box Hill with the last possession of the game. And similar to Casey, certainly keeps the Bombers well and truly in the top four mix.
No such heroic comebacks at Victoria Park. At quarter time, Collingwood led North Ballarat 8-250 to no score. And whilst for the rest of the game North Ballarat were not disgraced, they certainly didn't hemorrhage thereafter. The damage had been done.
Gus Borthwick with 5 goals, who's had a couple of years on the Collingwood VFL list, ex-Melbourne Grammar boy, and a couple of AFL clubs, I think, have cast their eye over him from time to time. Tim Broomhead, 3. The retiring Jesse White with a couple of goals as well. And finally, that win pushed Collingwood into the 8. They have, after being a top 4 side last year, not really been considered a contender for the season. They had a great win over Richmond a couple of weeks back. And that win over North Ballarat, not unexpected, keeps their finals tilt alive. They are currently edging out Werribee inside the 8 by about 14%. So, big couple of weeks to come in the battle for those bottom part of the 8 spots.
Now, top of the table, Williamstown were taking on Werribee at Burbank Oval. And at halftime, she was a pretty level pegging. 1 goal to the good were the latter leaders, Willie. And then they impressed themselves on the game and the competition, went away and won well.
Lindsay Thomas kicked 3 goals in the opening quarter, including an amazing snap from the right forward pocket at the grandstand end of the ground. But it was Ben Jolly's 250th game. We had him on the program last week in Williamstown. As they tend to do, found a gear when it mattered in the second half, kicking 5 unanswered goals in the final quarter to secure a victory. And interesting with the teams dropping tonight, Finey, Williamstown, despite the fact they travelled to Casey Fields on the weekend, electing to rest Ben Jolly, Sam Donnell and Jake Greiser ahead of their final series. So, interesting calls at selection from Andy Collins.
Well, there's still much to play for in the upcoming round of VFL action. We'll be joined by Toby Pinwill, 200th game coming up for Toby. And they've got a real testing encounter against the Box Hill Hawks. But there's 2 rounds to go, are there?
2 rounds left.
You see, if they win this game, Port Melbourne, then the last round they'll have a shout at top 2.
Well, to run you through the ladder quickly, Williamstown 52, Box Hill 50, Port Melbourne 42. Then we have Footscray and Casey on 40, Richmond and Essendon on 36. And as we said, Collingwood and Werribee on 32 each. Adrift then to the Northern Blues and Sandringham. Still some mathematical chance, both on 28 points.
I'm pretty confident in saying these 2 teams must have drawn the last time they played.
Back in round 7, it was an epic encounter.
Port Melbourne and Box Hill. When we come back, we will have a chat with Toby Pinwill. He is synonymous. There's been changing faces at Port Melbourne at North Port Oval over the last few years, but he is the constant, our guest after the break.
Aratuku got the tap down to Pinwill. He runs to 51 metres, attacks the goal face, got plenty on that kick. That's a magnificent finish from the skipper.
There's a little bit of pinwheel magic as Port Melbourne pushed for all this season, a genuine contender for a premiership, and you know what, along the way, of course, to celebrate every now and then, but this weekend, I think some real celebration. Toby Pinwill is a favourite son, and he hits the 200 game mark. Congratulations, and welcome back on the program, Toby.
Cheers. Thanks, Barney. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for always being a Port Melbourne player, and I don't mean that as though if you went anywhere else that would diminish your football career or your journey, but I don't know, there's last week we spoke to Ben Jolly, and there is something about, and I think it can only happen for the traditional standalone form of VFA clubs, there is something about loyalty that maybe Williamstown and Port have struck a chord with you two boys. It's for me what these clubs are all about.
Yeah, definitely. I think, Ben's obviously a huge achievement last week with the 250, and will he go and stand alone in the traditional rivals that Port and Willie are? That's, I guess those rivalries are born out of a similarity a lot of times. And that's one thing that I think both clubs have always had is, you know, people around the club that have given their, you know, lives to the club, and there's a lot of people bigger than us players that have done that for a long time. And the community as a whole around Port Melbourne, if you go back through the history, the working class nature of it and the way they rallied around the footy club, and it was probably their one big identity where they showed themselves off to the rest of Melbourne. And there's still a little bit of that that filters through the club now. So to be a part of the club for such a long time has just been a huge honour.
Topes, how important do you think it was to be made to earn your spot early on? 2004, the senior side under Jared Fitzgerald had a heartbreaking senior grand final loss to Sandringham. The reserves won the premiership, and then you didn't get a debut until 2005. So it wasn't as if VFL senior footy got handed to you on a platter by any stretch.
Definitely didn't. So when we were aligned, we obviously were playing for only a few spots, and we were really strong with guys like Stevie Lawrence and Chris Hobbs and Luke Cotchett and these sort of guys, Ryan McMahon. And so it was really hard to get a game. And it wasn't just me, but in the year after that, Sammy Dwyer and Chris Kane and Adrian Bonadeo and these sort of guys, we played a lot of twos footy together. We probably played between 40 and 62 games each. So when we got our chance, I think we'd created a bond with each other, but I think we'd also worked out what it took to be consistent at the level and got the balance right between how hard you had to work and enjoying each other's company and stuff like that. So I think those years really put you in good stead to try and get the most out of yourself rather than, playing a couple of games early, maybe decide you're not good enough for AFL and going back to local footy. We really earned it and became Port Melbourne people before we became good VFL players, I guess, and I think that's a reason why we've stuck around so long.
So they leave, the Valentis, the Galeas, Bonadios, and, you've got a serious business away from playing for the Borough. Why do you stick on?
I guess I just love it. Either that or I'm a glutton for punishment with Ayrsie, but I love the competition. And as I've said to someone earlier in the week, because we went standalone and I played with those sorts of guys, a lot of them have moved on now, but we've played such a big chunk of our footy together and we've been able to, I guess, create that again with a few of the guys who got down there now. I never felt like I missed out on the local footy club atmosphere. As I say, we always got the balance right between, having a good time, having a beer, and then working hard. So I think the two things is just I love the club, love the place and the boys, but also I really enjoyed the competitive side of testing yourself against the top level that you can each week.
And all of this despite sounding disconcertingly like Luke Darcy at times.
Me? Do I? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll have to listen back and see.
I picked up a bit of Luke. No criticism, no problems there. This, I just got to ask you about last week. Not often 13 goals are kicked in a quarter, and we know Coburg have battled, but still, must be playing some nice footy.
I think we kicked 8 or 9 goals in about 11 minutes too. So sometimes you just get those days and it clicks. They had a couple of injuries on the day. And I think we were in a position, the way we'd been playing probably the previous month, that it was important that we played the game right out. And so we really pushed pretty hard as a team to try and make sure that we're doing all the right things. And sometimes it just clicks. But 13 goals in a quarter, it's pretty unbelievable. But it'd be nice if we could do that again in the first quarter this week.
Well, congratulations on the 200th. More power to Port Melbourne. Wouldn't it be great to see a Willie Port grand final? And keep up
it definitely would be, as long as Port wins.
Well, I think that's a given. I'm a bit of a Port fan, sorry, Willie. And finally, keep up the good work separating us drivers from all of those wonderful sort of girls and boys that hold up the signs and all the traffic management that is done. I think of you every time I'm in a little gridlock.
Again, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I appreciate that.
Haven't been hit by a falling cinder block yet, so it's okay. Great stuff, Toby. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
And Toby Pinwell. Now the quickest ever tips in the history of sport. Let's go for them, boys, and start off with Collingwood Geelong.
Pies.
Essendon Footscray.
Dogs.
Bombers.
Werribee, Northern Blues.
Tigers.
Tigers.
Coburg, North Ballarat.
Coburg.
North Ballarat.
Casey, Williamstown.
7, 2 p.m. Saturday afternoon. Casey.
Casey with those outs.
Richmond, Sandringham.
Tigers.
Tigers.
Box Hill Hawks versus Port Melbourne.
You got to tip Port.
Port.
Geelong, West Camberwell. Oh, no, that's from a few years ago. Thanks, boys. Great work. I love your work, Brett Anderson. And I'm similarly impressed by you, Nigel.